The message I have this morning, the title of the message is No Answer. I spoke Wednesday night in our Wednesday night Bible study. We were looking at Matthew, but I went over to Luke and referenced this one of the verses I'm going to use. And I told the Wednesday night crowd, I said, you know, God really spoke to me in a profound way of looking at one verse. And I said, you know, I really want to get a message together on this this verse. And I didn't know if I'd do it this Sunday or not, but that's the way it went. I couldn't get it off my mind. But anyway, in Luke chapter 23, verse 1, and the Bible says, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. And then said Pilate to the chief priests and the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray now, above all things, that we're aware of your presence, Lord, that you meet with us and speak to each and every heart that's here. Lord, you know what we need, and we know most of all we need to hear from you. And Lord, I pray for that one or more that may be here lost or not sure about their salvation. Lord, today will be that day that they get it settled before it is eternally too late. And we ask it all and thank you for in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, the title of the message is No Answer. And in verse 9, it says there, we see Herod, and it said that he questioned in many words. And the Bible says that Jesus answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. We also see Pilate in the text, and I was looking at the other gospel accounts of this same event, and it tells us in one of the other gospel accounts, and I know that Jesus answered Pilate a few things. We see there that he said, thou sayest. But another gospel account says the same thing, that eventually it got to the point in Pilate's conversation with Jesus that Jesus answered him nothing. And I thought this, what a profound thought that a person could get to the point in life that God would not speak to them. That there's this is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and he would not answer Herod nothing. That's a fearful thing. That's a fearful thing to get to the place in life when God is finished or won't speak. The definition probably of total hopelessness is when God is done speaking to us. Think about this. When's the last time that God really spoke to you? That God really spoke to your heart? I've heard people say, and I remember for a fact, sometimes, you know, I've heard people say when they've gone to a church service or they heard a preaching message somehow, they say, well, you know, I didn't get anything out of it. Like, it's the preacher's fault, and in some cases maybe it is, or something wrong with the message, and in some cases maybe it is, but I know for a fact there's cases where that's not the problem. I remember Sherry and I got all excited when I first got saved, and we got in church and we got all excited like everybody should, and we wanted to invite people to church. You know, we wanted to bring people to come and hear about Jesus. And we had some neighbors that lived kind of through the woods there, and I had a fireball preacher. My preacher was a little short guy, man. He'd jump up in there and get his feet this high up past the pulpit and, you know, shoot an old arm out there and get all sweaty and go back and forth across the thing. And man, he'd lay it on you. And you know, we got our neighbors to come. Man, we was all excited about it, you know. And you know how you do. You get your guests there and the preacher's up there whipping it on them. And you know, you kind of looking out of the corner of your eye to see, boy, you know, and you think, boy, old Pastor Woodard, man, he's getting with it today, man. This ought to be great. Boy, they really need to hear that. We always apply it to somebody else. You know, we never apply it to us. And we got done, and we got outside. We're all excited, you know. I was a new Christian, man, and, you know, we done invited somebody, you know, got them to come to church, which is no easy task. You all know how that is. We got them to come, and I said, what'd you think of? Yeah, man, I ain't getting nothing out of it. But, man, you ain't getting nothing out of it. You know, you got to be kidding me. Man, I was like, I was shocked, you know. I didn't know what to do. And you know, we know that happens sometimes. I mean, just because we're hearing the message doesn't mean we're hearing God speak to our hearts. And you know, and I know people that have been on their deathbeds. And I know of two particular cases, and I probably shared them with you over the years because they stuck out in my mind so much. But I remember Derek Benson and I went one time to visit a family, a man that had cancer. It had eaten a hole in his spine. He was already paralyzed, couldn't walk. He was laying in bed, and we went to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, man, you know, I used to go to church. He used to go to a Baptist church. And he said, I used to go to church, and I used to do this and that. And I asked him if he was saved, and he said no. And he said, you know, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the guy's like weeks away. He actually died 3 weeks later, but he was weeks away from death, and he had to know that. And I said, listen, do you want to get saved? And he said he wasn't saved. And I said, do you want to get saved? He said, well, I'm not ready. I said, man alive, I just, you know, kind of got real blunt, probably blunter than maybe I should have gotten. I said, look, man, you're dying. If you're not ready, who is? You know, if you're not ready to get saved, listen, what do you mean you're not ready? If I got $1 million I was going to give to you, are you ready to accept it? I don't know about you. Somebody throws $1 million out in front of me, I'm ready. If you got it, bring it on, you know. I'm ready. He says he's not ready. And you know what he said this? And I just remember the Holy Spirit deleting and just a darkness and a quietness, and it was time to go. He said, I can't tell you why I can't get saved. Man, I just felt, it's kind of eerie, Twilight Zone. He said, I can't tell you why. And it was just like something draining out of my body. The Holy Spirit was just saying, that's it. You're done. I told Derek, I said, Derek Benson used to be our youth leader here. I said, let's go. We left, and the guy died 3 weeks later. I mean, you know why? And I never, didn't realize it then, but I thought about this. I'll tell you why the guy couldn't tell me why he couldn't get saved. He couldn't get saved because God was done dealing with him. That was it. God was done. My wife had an uncle that was laying in the hospital having a heart attack, dying, and his wife was in there begging him to get saved. Before he died, he had tears streaming down the side of his cheeks. He said, I can't get saved. You know, there can come a time, and Herod was a living, breathing man in the presence of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and Jesus wouldn't speak to him. That's profound. That's a fearful thing. And you know, we've all had periods probably when, you know, that in our life when sometimes that, like, God seemed distant. You know, there's probably been times in our life, and maybe even still, that God seems like he's a long way off. You know, that God's not really, you know, you wonder, you know, where direction. And you know, it's not that, listen, God's not at fault. God doesn't have a problem. It's usually always related to us and our, you know, relationship to God. We've got away from him. He hadn't got away from us, but we've got away from him. We've been there. And there's times when it seems like God's not speaking to us. But I want to say today, listen, when we get to that point, if you get to the point in your life when it doesn't seem like that God is speaking to you or that God seems distant, it's time to do some serious praying, and it's time to make some changes. Amen. Whatever they need to be. It might be some stuff you need to quit, get away from, and might be some stuff you need to get to, but there's time to do something different. And I got three little points I want to look at. They're not alliterated and all that fancy stuff. I kind of broke them up just so I could get through the message with you. this morning for myself, really more than you. But we're going to look at some things in the lives of Herod and a little bit of Pilate to see why it had gotten to this point in their lives. Number one thing we'll see right off the bat, they, like everybody else, number one, they needed salvation. They needed salvation. The one thing that all mankind needs and those that are lost is to be saved. I mean, it's not a question of that Jesus wasn't what they needed or that God wasn't what they needed. They needed to be saved. We were looking on Wednesday night, we're kind of looking at the Herod family, and in this Herod in particular, I mean, and all of them were this way, self-centered people, self-absorbed, greedy, power-hungry, most of them guilty of murder. This particular Herod here had divorced his wife, sent her back to her father, and took his half-brother's wife. Stole her away from his half-brother and was living with her. She's the one that wanted the head of John the Baptist brought to her and worked out a little plot to get it. I don't think Herod particularly wanted to kill him, but he did. He had John the Baptist. This Herod had John the Baptist put to death. Just to satisfy the daughter, to tell you how lustful he had gotten to be the daughter of his brother Philip's wife that he was now living with. And so, there's no doubt about it. I mean, listen, lost is lost. You can't stack them up and say, well, look, that guy's a lot more wicked than I am. And this, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're not saved, you're lost. You know, you're in that category. It doesn't really matter. And the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, here's an ironic twist. Why wouldn't Jesus answer him? We'll get to that in a minute. The second point we'll see that leads up to the last thing I want to talk about is they desired to see Jesus. Look what it said in verse 8. It says, Herod saw Jesus. He was exceeding glad. Hey, he's already in better shape than a lot of Baptists are today. Huh? There's a lot of people that don't want to see. They don't want God to speak to them. They don't want to see God. They're afraid God's going to tell them something about their life that's not right, or that God's going to call them to do something that they don't want to do. And so they don't want to see Jesus. It said that he was exceeding glad. It said he was desirous to see him of a long season because he had heard many things of him and hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. So he desired to see him. And I don't know about Pilate. Pilate ended up, listen, Jesus in that day, this wasn't some obscure man at this point. Everybody had heard about him. I mean, you know, it's just like today. Listen, you're going to go in the United States of America and talk to people about Christ. They've heard about Jesus Christ. It might have been in a cuss word, in a sentence somehow, but they've heard the name Jesus Christ. And it wasn't that he wasn't known. He was known to some degree. And so I know Pilate knew of him, and perhaps he might have been curious about seeing him as well. Pilate had asked a question. Actually, when he saw Jesus, he said, what is truth? He kind of asked it, a rhetorical question. He said, what is truth? And what he really didn't know, that Jesus, the truth, was standing right in front of him at the very moment that he asked that question. And, you know, a lot of people claim that they want to know truth. I remember a lady one time that was involved in a cult. And I went around there to see her and talk to her about it. And she said, listen, she was real sincere. She said, I just want to know the truth. I'm really seeking the truth. I said, great. I said, that's good. I mean, if I can get somebody that just wants to see that, I can talk to them about it, you know. And I had a book that dealt with that particular cult. I said, listen, I got a book for you, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I mean, I was sacrificing my time, for serving God. But I was out there visiting on Thursday night. And I said, tomorrow when you get home from work, I'll bebop over here, burned up my gas, gave her a book that I paid for out of my own pocket. And I said, I got a book, I'm going to give it to you. Well, but in the meantime, she got to talking to the cult leaders. You know, they know who I am. They know my name. Every time I see one of them, they said, oh yeah, we heard of you. It's never in a good way. But that's okay. That's okay with me. And I said, I went over there on Friday. Buddy, I might as well have been handing her a rattlesnake. She jumped back from the door, put her hands up. When I was holding that book out, I thought I'd just throw it on her. She goes, I'm not taking it. I said, now, wait a minute. She is all in. I knew when I got out of the car and I saw her standing at the door, the look on her face. I said, uh-oh, time for praying all the way up the sidewalk. I'm not taking that. I said, look, now, wait a minute. I said, you listen to what you told me. I was getting testy, man. I said, you told me that you were seeking the truth, that you really just wanted to know the truth. I said, just read this. You don't have to agree with it. You may disagree with everything in it. Toss it in the trash. But if you're really seeking the truth, read. I said, I read books all the time that I don't agree with nothing they say. But I just read them for information. I said, read it. Nah, she wouldn't do it. She got all mad at me about something else. Wouldn't take it. People say they're really seeking the truth, but you know, truth be told, they don't really want to know the truth. Amen. They want to know the truth as long as it fits in with them or their lifestyle or doesn't interfere with anything that's going on in their life. And you know, so we see that. And you know, they needed salvation. And the Bible says that Herod wanted to see Jesus, man, alive. I'm just hoping the people that come here on Sunday morning want to hear from Jesus and want to see Jesus. And I'm not real sure that's always the case. You know, I'm just hoping we can get to that point. This guy's already got two things going for him. He's lost and he wants to see Jesus. And he was glad about it. And he was glad about seeing him. There's a lot of people that sees him that's not glad. And there's going to be a whole lot more people that see him when he comes back and they're not going to be glad. But he was glad about it and he wanted to see him. And then it says this. And it says Jesus wouldn't, at a third point, and talk about this mostly, Jesus wouldn't answer him, and I want to talk about why. Jesus wouldn't answer him. Why? Well, the number one thing we see right here, it says in verse 8, it said Herod saw Jesus exceeding glad for his desire to see him a long season because he'd heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. The very first reason why we see that Jesus didn't really respond to him is because it all had to do with motive and reason why Herod wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to be entertained. Huh? He wanted to be entertained. You know, isn't that the truth? I mean, you know, when you get out there today, that's a lot of people, that's what they want. When they come to church, they don't care nothing about the gospel message, man. I've had people call me up, first thing out of their mouth, what kind of songs y'all sing? You know, what kind of music y'all have? What kind of stuff you got for the kids? What kind of stuff you got for the old people? What kind of stuff you got for the middle-aged people? Listen, we got the same stuff for everybody, and that is Jesus. That's what they need. Huh? The old people need Jesus. The middle-aged people need Jesus. The young married couples need Jesus. The youth in Sunday school, they need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. He's the answer. I mean, that's what we need. We got the same thing. Well, they want to see something else, man. They want a disco ball spinning, and they want to have smoke and mirrors rolling around. And listen, man, we do some fun things. We did the Saints Come Marching In. That's not an everyday Sunday occurrence. I mean, I figured, you know, we're singing. We're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to. It's all that. But that's not what it's all about. I mean, some people, man, they just want to see some kind of entertainment, some miracle. I noticed this, and I think I preached on this text one time, and it fits with this. In John chapter 2, 23 and 24, it says this. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracle which he did. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But it says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Now you break that. It says that they believed in his name when they saw the miracle. You know, a lot of people, well, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe. Listen, just believing is not trusting. I believe in George Washington, but I'm not putting my faith in him for anything because he's dead, right? You know, I believe in a lot of things that I'm not putting my faith and trust in. I believe there's a Satan, but I'm not putting my trust in him. You know, and so it said they wouldn't commit. Jesus wouldn't commit to them. It's the same thing as saying that he wouldn't speak to them. And, you know, and a lot of people claim, as I said, they're looking for Jesus, or they want to see him, or they want to see truth, but really, they're just looking for entertainment. I can tell you that right now. Look here. You go out here and just say, we're going to have a, and I thought about doing this, but it's getting to be such a hassle, I haven't done it. But I thought about, you know, we get an old tent or something and have an old tent revival meeting. You know, you put on a revival meeting and get some preaching. I mean, somebody really preaching, you know, put on. You don't get much people come out for that anymore. Nah, you gotta have some gospel group come in. I tell you what, that's getting you. A lot of times you can't get even people in nowadays. Used to you could get them in with music, but a lot of times now you can't do that. But you put on some kind of entertainment thing. Huh? We'll bring in Duck Dynasty. Huh? And I like Duck Dynasty, don't get me wrong. But you bring in some big stars, what I'm getting to say. You bring in a star or something, you pack the place out. But you just preaching the gospel message. Jesus Christ. I tell you, what if Jesus was going to show up? I don't know what kind of crowd we'd get. Half the church members would lay out. Scared to death. Huh? Listen, you just going to preach the gospel. That's all you got? You know, what if somebody calls? Next time somebody calls, I'm going to say, what do you got? I'm going to say, we got the gospel.
Amen.
That all you got? That's enough.
Amen.
That's enough. What all? You know, what if you got a gospel, but you put on a concert, you have a big old dinner, you bring in a big star, going to King's Dominion, you got to rent two buses, can't get them on there, going out soul winning, there's an echo in the car you're riding in. Huh? Listen. You claim that you can heal somebody from a physical ailment. And I can't. I think God can heal anybody, but I don't think, you know, the apostles could, but I'm not an apostle. But you know what? You get these guys on TV, oh yeah, man, send in your money and come on up here and we go. And they pack them out. But you know, you talk to them about their sin. Uh-uh. You can't get people to come to that. See, because people really just want entertainment. Jesus didn't answer Herod. And he didn't perform a miracle either. I asked the church Wednesday night, I said, you know, from the human side of things, you know what we would have done? From a human point, this is what I think. If somebody was an unbeliever, I'd say, well, poof, here, look at that miracle. You don't like that one here, I'll do another one. You want another, you don't like that, I'll do a bigger, bigger, bigger one. And we try to force somebody to believe. Jesus didn't do it. He wouldn't commit himself to him when he did the miracles. And there, it said that he could have done something. He could have blown Herod's mind right there. He could have just blown him out of the water by doing something unbelievable. It's not about miracles, man. It's about faith.
Amen.
Faith, huh? Faith is not seeing. We don't walk by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith. And so he didn't commit himself to the crowd that believed in his name because of the miracles, and he didn't commit himself, or he wouldn't answer Herod. Let me ask you this, what do you come to church for? You know, something to do. Something, hear the singing. Fellowship with the people. Maybe clear your guilty conscience. I got a little gold star by my name for this week, and therefore kind of balances out all that stuff I did the rest of the week. I remember a person, that, and most people, I did a study one time. I was studying on church growth, and one thing they said to do, not to do, they said, don't point out the visitors. You know, anybody that visits a church, they already feel, you know, most the natural person, they feel kind of out of place and they feel kind of weird. And, you know, they don't want to be drawing any more attention to themselves than they're probably already getting. And so you just let them blend in, you know, kind of go up and introduce yourself on the side and that, but don't, you know, have a spotlight from up here at the pulpit. You know, stand up and tell us something about yourself. You know, don't do that. They said it makes them feel uncomfortable. But I remember I met this lady one time, and we had done some business, had some church business, and she goes, oh, yeah, you're a pastor, and oh, yeah, and all that church. Well, you know, I'd like to come down there. And I was talking to her about it, and I said, look, don't worry. You know, we're not going to do anything to make you feel weird or nothing. You know, you don't have to stand up and, you know, tell us something about yourself. I was just trying to calm her. She goes, oh, I like that. And, you know, there are a few that are out there, you know. She said, I like that. So I said, you mean you want me to? But see, that's drawing attention to yourself, you know. And then later on, I saw her another time. I went by the place of business, and she said, "Oh," she said, and "this was before we built on. You know, we were the ugliest. I used to say we were the ugliest church in America, and the buildings didn't look that good either. but we had the old building over here. Is all we had, the little square building. We didn't have this, and the church looks more like a church now. But it didn't look that much like a church. We hadn't built on yet." And she said, "I drove by and looked at you, church." But she didn't come. You know, what's it all about here? You know, I got to thinking to myself, man, here's somebody that wants somebody to draw attention to her, to herself, and then she wanted the building to look just right. It's got to be, you know, it can't look too below my means. You know what I'm saying? You know how? And I'm thinking, man, what do you come to church for? You know, what's it about? Is it all these other things, the singing and the fellowship and just clearing your conscience? Or do you really want to hear from God? You know, another thing we see, Herod and Pilate both, they would not make a decision about Jesus. They wouldn't do it. You know, that's a group of people. The group of people that will not make a decision about Christ don't hear from God. Pilate said, oh, I don't want to have to deal with you. I found out Herod's in town. I'm sending him over there. He sends Jesus to Herod. Herod wanted to see him, wanted to do a miracle. They mocked him in that. He didn't do anything with him either. He sent him back to Pilate. They couldn't even make a decision about putting him to death. You know, it's no decision is a decision. You know, and there's so many people that did just today, this is a like a four-letter word, commitment. Nobody wants to commit to nothing. You can't get them to commit to nothing. You know, people got to live together for 50 years without getting married because they don't want to make a commitment. People won't join a church. They can go there 15 years, 10 years. We have people been here 10 years and finally joined, finally made it. You know, they go for years, won't commit to the church. They won't commit to the choir. They won't commit to doing anything for God because they're afraid it's going to interfere somehow in their time slot. They won't commit to Christ. I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to hear from God. You're not going to hear from God. And you know, when you think about that, how many people sit in churches week in, week out and will not commit to Christ or will not commit to His church? You know what happens to those people? They usually end up just dropping out and falling away. You know why? Because they don't get anything out of it. They don't hear from God because God's not speaking to them. I ask this question here. What kind of a church would any church be if every member were just like me? Think about it. What kind of choir would my church have if everybody was like I am? Or would we have one? What kind of Christmas play would we have if everybody was as committed as I am? What kind of vacation Bible school would we have if every church member was committed as I am? Listen, man, I mean, it's a commitment. You know, that's what Christ wants from us. He's a commitment. And if you don't want to commit to Him, I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to commit to you. As a matter of fact, it could get to the point where He quit speaking to you because He spoke and He spoke and He spoke and you wouldn't listen. And I'm going to tell you what, if it's a little pet peeve of mine is talking to people that don't listen, that will not, they don't hear what you say, or they don't listen to what you got. You know, you get done talking and it's like, what's that? They didn't hear what you say. Isn't that aggravating? Wouldn't that aggravate you after a while? Well, how many times is somebody going to keep talking to you and you never listen, you never respond before they quit? Huh? Yeah. What happens is later on, and then it ends up, and you don't hear from God, and then you quit going and you blame it on the preacher and you blame it on the church and you maybe even blame it on God, but really the problem is you because you wouldn't commit to Christ. Pilate went on to say, I don't find anything wrong with Him. I find no fault in Jesus. But he didn't have enough courage to stand for what he believed. See, he's like a lot of Christians. This is what Pilate did. He didn't ask what's the right thing to do. He said, what's the safest thing to do? What's the easiest thing to do? What's the most popular thing to do? Not what the right thing. I tell you what, matter of fact, when you study, if you think about this most of the time, you know that the right thing to do is usually not the easiest thing to do. In a whole lot of areas of life, in life. The right thing to do today, as far as doing godly things, is definitely not the popular thing to do. Huh? It's definitely not the safest thing to do. You could suffer some persecution for what you do. Pilate didn't find fault, but he didn't have courage either. And Jesus quit talking to him as well. Another reason that Jesus didn't answer Herod, look, it said in verse 11, it said, Herod stood with his men of war, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him. Mocked him. Of course, we know that Jesus knew his heart ahead of time, but it said he mocked him. I looked it up. Mocks, the definition of mock means to imitate or mimic in contempt or derision. To deride, ridicule, treat with scorn, and listen to this definition. I thought this was very fitting of us as Christians today, and I was surprised it went with it. But mock can mean to disappoint. To disappoint. How we might disappoint Christ. You know, the Bible, when you look at the word mock, Proverbs 14:9 says this, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock, which means that they speak about sin or speak about people that speak against sin or don't want to sin with contempt. This is another little side lesson. It doesn't have anything to do with this, but Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. That word for strong drink, I looked it up. You know what the word strong drink is? Beer. It's beer. It's the word for beer. Strong drink is raging. It's not what we think, you know, we think maybe of something stronger than that. Wine is a mocker. A guy the other day, he's one of them Christian fellows. I got to talking to him, claims he's a Christian. You know, on one minute he's preaching to you, on the next minute he's wanting somebody to run the store and get him some tobacco and beer. And he said, the Bible says a lot about wine. He said, the Bible talks about wine all the time. I said, yeah, it does. It said, wine's a mocker. It says when it flips over in the cup, you better get away from it. It said, if it makes your eyes red, you better stay away from it. I said, the Bible says a lot about wine. Amen. I'm getting quiet. Galatians 6:7, the Bible says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's translated this way, you can't snub God, you can't turn your nose up to God and hear from God. Yeah, keep on. Yeah, you know what? God says he gave us a choice. You can go on living sin, and run around, flirt with the world. You can, but I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to hear from God. You're going to sit in here like a bump on a log when it's all said and done and say what? I didn't get nothing out of it. I didn't get nothing out of it. Or you got something out of it and you'll just be mad at me for some little point or something I said the whole time and that's all you got on your mind. Your preacher said this, but... Instead of hearing, ain't that right? Instead of hearing from God. You know, I wondered about this. Are we mocking God when we call ourselves a Christian and attach our name to Christ and then disobey God? Are we mocking God? When we forsake His church or refuse to serve Him, refuse to sacrifice for Him, or refuse to listen to Him. When we sit in church and play with our cell phones the whole time the preaching's going on, are we mocking God? And then we wonder why God doesn't speak to us. Listen, and say this in closing. Herod, Pilate, and other people throughout the church age and before had, and definitely the church age, they had Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. In those days, they had God in the flesh right in their midst. And we do, as in the person of the Holy Spirit, have God right in our midst and need salvation and even want to see Jesus, but they would not commit to Him. And Jesus refused to speak to them. Let me ask you this, is God speaking to you? If God wasn't speaking to me, I'd be worried. I'd be worried that I'd gotten to the place or to the point that God was done. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. I pray that you do speak to our hearts here today and speak to every heart that's here, Lord, not leave anyone that you're not speaking to. Lord, whatever their need is, I pray you meet that need, and I pray you show us our needs, Lord. We're so good at deceiving ourselves and thinking we have a need of nothing. Lord, I pray that you show us. Lord, I pray you to that one that's lost or definitely lost or doubting whether they're saved, Lord, that you speak to their hearts again today about it. Not put us away, Lord, not put us on a shelf, Lord, but use us, Lord, and not let us get so calloused, jaded to sin, Lord, that we refuse to repent or don't get under conviction any longer about it. But so you have your will and way in this service now, Lord, and we'll trust you for what's going to take place in Jesus' name. Amen.